We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to CHGO White Sox Podcast, coming to you live from Studio B of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
Our CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow him at EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO. I'm off today. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hi.
Hello. Make sure you're hitting the thumbs up button like Vinny's telling you down below. Make sure you're subscribing. We have a Hawks watch along that's taking place just directly after our show wraps up. So just stay tuned to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel as the Blackhawks guys will be with you for the entire game. And most importantly for our show, joining us from Arizona, sunny but now cloudy, as Herb pointed out, Arizona, Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He just published his CHGO White Sox Weekly for our diehards. You can become a diehard today at allchgo.com. And you can also read about the new White Sox, Brian Shaw. He's back, baby. And you're back, Vinny. Welcome back. How was your weekend?
It was good. I got to, go on a little hike on Saturday. And when I say little, I don't mean little, because it was pretty epic, I got to be honest with you.
How epic was it, Ben?
It was very epic. It was like literally one of the best hikes I've ever done. It was great.
I mean, I feel like I'm like pulling teeth here. I feel like I'm doing a scrum here. How long was the hike? We didn't go on the hike. What was it? Where were you?
It was a hike into Boulder Canyon in the Superstition Wilderness. Basically, think if like you were to hike through a Western. It was like canyons and mountains and rock formations. I expected to see, you know, a big shootout at some point or something like that. Yeah.
Wow. Were you wearing a cowboy hat? Were there any boots on? Well, I mean, I need to really picture this here, Ben.
I mean, hiking boots. But no, it's cool. It was in this. So you drive up. It was a big, long scenic drive through, like, you know, think like national park quality scenery. Right. And then you get to a big lake in the middle of the desert, and that's kind of where the hike started. And you go up and you get to look out over the big lake and everything, and then you go back into the canyon and you get to see all the mountains around you. It was pretty fantastic.
We're gonna lose Vinny to Arizona. It sounds like he loves it down there. A lot of hiking. No hiking here though, Vinny, because there's all flat.
Well, here's the thing. I would say, you know, of course, I mean, even with PHNX in the family, it's easy for him to probably get work down there, you know, just cover the Diamondbacks. But they're threatening right now to move. So that'd be a horrible career move, Vinny. So let's not do that. Let's hopefully you'll be staying with us at CHGO White Sox. Vinny did some great work, obviously, over the weekend. There were some shorts up to keep you posted. Even when we weren't doing shows, there's the article at allchgo.com. There's the piece for diehards. So there's a lot of content coming from Vinny. We also do have new diehards. Richard, Cody, Howard, Brendan, Riley, and Riley joined us. So thank you very much to those people who have joined us over the weekend. We also had Joe on Friday. So if you do want to grow the ever-growing community that we have at AllCHGO, head over to become a diehard at allchgo.com. Vinny got us some video from Andrew Vaughn, Aloy Jimenez, got some audio from Martin Maldonado and Mike Moustakas, but the coup de resistance, I don't speak French. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's Luis Robert Jr. We got about 6 minutes of Luis Robert Jr. Talking to the media. What was the biggest takeaway? What was your favorite moment from Luis Robert before we get into it, Ben?
Well, I think the headline was definitely that this is a guy who was so good last year, and whether it's other people talking or him talking today, I think he can be a lot better, and that's just kind of crazy to think after the way we saw Luis Robert Jr. play in 2023. You know, he's saying kind of things that probably is making Pedro Grifol and Chris Getz smile. He's talking about improving the little things in his game, and, you know, he's sitting there talking about how excited he is that defense is a priority for the front office and for this team this year. So he's talking the talk in terms of all the new kind of identity stuff and the new way that this team wants to play. Listen, it seems that Luis Robert could definitely be the type of guy who plays a fast, aggressive style of baseball, right? We know he has the athletic ability to do it. We already have seen the defensive prowess in center field. You know, it's been kind of a concern in the past about, is he going to, you know, suffer any health issues while running the bases, or perhaps more specifically sliding into the bases. But if they get that cleaned up, I don't understand why he couldn't be a guy that is running all over the place. We even saw it plenty of times last year where whether he got to first base on a base hit or a walk, he'd be on second and then he'd be on third in the blink of an eye. If the White Sox are truly serious about playing in this style of baseball in which they're trying to, you know, make it a nightmare for the opposing team, it would seem like you would be sending Luis Robert Jr. a lot more because he has the speed to do it.
I couldn't agree more. I'm excited about the guy. Looked like he was in great shape. Probably not the best shape of his life, because he's always in the best shape of his life, but like the new hairstyle, I just can't wait to see the player, because baseball's back now. That the players are all back there, full squad group is going, and as Ellie points out, really the only player to watch, but I'm looking forward to other people watching. I know that he's a superstar. He got voted 27th best player in MLB by MLB Network. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that superstar continuing his trek to the Hall of Fame eventually.
Herb just gave me a great idea. I will rank all 70 players from my excitement to watch them this spring training. And honestly, Luis Robert might be 70. I mean, Brian Shaw's probably number 4. Garrett Crochet with his new cutters, likely 1. Michael Kopech's 2. Dylan Cease is still in a White Sox uniform. I'm desperately watching every single pitch to make sure he's okay. I mean, come on. I mean, it's not going to be exciting baseball, but it's interesting baseball.
We all know who 70 is. We won't say the name because then we have to drink.
Oh, come on. He's at least 69 because it'll make it funny. Nice. All right, let's jump into the player to watch, the only player to watch, Luis Robert Jr. Here is 6 minutes, starting with a back and forth with Scott Merkin.
You look back on last season, what do you take away from the All-Star performance, Silver Slugger performance that you were able to put up across the course of the year?
Nobody's okay. I think my biggest takeaway was that I was able to stay healthy and play the amount of games that I play. I think I play a lot of games, and that was something that I wanted to do.
What's the key then to go into another? Is there another level you can go in 2024?
Yeah. I think I can improve a little things that do as well as I wanted last year, and I think I can improve in those little things, and if I do, it's going to be a way better season.
Pedro has talked about wanting to play a new style, fast, aggressive. How excited are you to hear that, and do you think that that'll help this team out?
Every time that I go out to the field, I do it, you know, with that mindset, and I think everybody do that, we're going to be in a good position. I don't have any problem with it.
How challenging was last season from the team standpoint, and how motivated are you for the White Sox to be a better team this year?
No, it's difficult to lose as many games as we lost last year. It's definitely difficult. But I think this year we're going to do better. I think, you know, we're there from last year, and I think we're going to perform in a better level this year.
How important is it for this offense for Aloy and Yoan to kind of come alongside and have the years that they are seemingly capable of happening for off days against
the Cowboys? That definitely is going to be one of the key for us. You know, unfortunately, that has hurt us the last couple of years. You know, we haven't been able to play the full lineup. This year, we are able to stay healthy. Everybody managed to stay healthy and play as many games as they can. I think the results are going to be good for this team, but that definitely that's a big key for us.
In conversations you've had with Yoan in the offseason, do you sense from him that he's has any extra level of motivation this year?
Before last season ended, he, you know, the mindset was, you know, get ready and into the best shape possible during the offseason to come back this season, you know, and do what he and everybody knows that he can do on the field.
What does it mean to you when people talk about you as one of the best players in the game? How do you process that?
No,
en verdad se siente bien. Pienso que por eso es lo que he estado trabajando desde que llegué aquí esta organización, pero nada, las lesiones no me han ayudado. Y pienso que por eso siempre dije en todas las entrevistas que mi clave es mantenerme saludable, y gracias a Dios el año pasado pude estar saludable y los resultados salieron.
It feels good. You know, that has been one of my goals ever since I came here and signed with this organization. Just be the best player that I can be. You know, unfortunately, the past seasons, you know, injuries and all this stuff kind of prevent me to be that kind of player. I think last year was a step forward. But I said that's what I work for every day, just to be the best player that I can be.
Do you feel like you had to, you know, sacrifice batting average or maybe accept more strikeouts to tap into your power as much as you did last season? Or do you feel like you can be a guy who hits 300 as he has in the past and, you know, hit threatens 40 home runs?
Sí, pienso que es, no.
I'm confident that I can do both. I can hit over 300. I struggle a little bit in the strikeouts, but I think that's something that I can do. I can control the strikeouts. I think that's something that I can prevent. And if I do, okay, the average is going to be there as well as the home runs.
What kind of advice did you give Oscar after, you know, his first year in the majors? I know you worked out with him this offseason. What kind of focus did you kind of impart on him?
He already had the experience from last year. We talked more about, you know, put it in a good use, the experience. You have confidence on himself. And I think that he's in the right spot. He has a lot of talent. I think if he's able to put all that together, he's going to have a good performance this year.
As someone who plays good defense, what did you make of the front office's intention to improve the defense this offseason to have a better defense moving forward in 2024?
I thought a lot about that at home during the offseason. The front office did a good job. I just went almost every signing that the team did, and I think we have good players with good defense. That's a very important aspect of our game. It's going to be a very important aspect of our game for this season.
You changed agents in the offseason. Are you thinking a bit more about your future after this current contract with the White Sox at all?
You're always thinking about your future, but you know, I still have 4 more years with this organization, and I don't think way ahead of that. I like to think of the present, today, because that's what I can control. You can have a good future if you don't have a good present. Then that's why I don't want to think too far away.
You're a guy who's worked a lot on your English since you came over this country. How much better is your communication with the teammates, coaches, you know, since you first got over here?
¿Para poner en inglés? ¿Para que sepa?
Claro. No, yo tengo... No, yo tengo buena comunicación, y gracias a Dios casi todos los coaches hablan español, y con los jugadores también me comunico bastante bien.
Yes, I have a very good communication with the coaching staff and with my teammates. You know, we have a good amount of coaches that speak Spanish, and you know, my teammates they speak Spanish too.
That was Luis Robert Jr. Audio is kind of low from the reporters. I apologize for that. That could have been louder on my end, so my apologies. But again, I did find it at least the facial expressions he made when James asked that question about his contract, and then Billy Russo, who translated the English answers for Luis Robert Jr., I just thought it was very funny. I don't know. It's fun for him to see that expression, and even when he did understand Merkin's question about how good are you? He was like, "Oh yeah, I can answer that." I don't know. Like it's exciting to see his personality because we don't get the opportunity. So thank you, Vinny, for sharing that.
How about that bar in the middle of there where he's like, "You can't have a good future unless you have a good present." It's like, man, Luis is out here rapping style right there. I was like, damn, I'm inspired. That's not only baseball, that's for life.
That could be DJ Billy Russo, you know. Maybe he's got a
little
career.
Spice in there.
Yeah, maybe, or MC Billy Russo. But yeah, no, Robert it's exciting to have this player still in Chicago for the next 4 years, and hopefully they can just play that aggressive, defensive, fast style around him to make it harder for teams to beat them. We know that the team might not be that talented outside of Luis Robert Jr. Some players need to prove that, like Eloy Jimenez and Andrew Vaughn, who we'll hear from a little bit later. But if we do see that talent and they are playing good defense around them, hey, you know, maybe they do win 78 games.
Hey, man.
Is that too bearish?
I don't think they're a 60 win team that they were last year. So 78 wins is not too far off from where I think they should be, a middling team in the middle of this terrible division. So if they got 78, I would not be shocked, but also I'd be like, okay, they should be competing for that AL Central if they're at 78, at least going into September. Because this team, yes, is not great on paper, but if they're going to do the things that they say they're going to do and Brian Bannister has the effect that they have on, like, last year's team fell short of expectations by a lot. And, yes, there's a lot of people not with the team right now, but they're not that bad where they're a 101 loss team, I don't believe. I think last year, like I said in the year before, is an anomaly. And you can't have great players like that on the team who's going to play 150 games, and if Eloy plays 150 games, and lose 100 games again.
Yeah, we got one more question for Vinny, then we'll take a break. Vin, one thing that stuck out, and I know Garrett Crochet said this, you know, guys that bulked up, they got thinner. Guys who got thinner last year, they bulked up. Is Luis Robert Jr. saying, wow, those strikeout numbers were gaudy, I need to work on that? Is that just typical for hitters? Like, I'm always going to try to, you know, cut down strikeouts, or is it different from when we hear from Eloy later that, you know, he kind of put a little bit more emphasis behind, you know, Luis is working on maintaining that strike zone. Is that really a goal that we can look for Luis Robert Jr. in 2024 now that he's played 150 plus games? He can kind of zone in on what he needs to do better.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think it's a goal that he accomplished last year, right? I mean, think of the way we were talking about Luis at this time a year ago versus the way we were talking about him even, you know, come May, right? And the vast improvement that he made in trying to stay in the strike zone and not allowing pitchers to just throw him garbage and have him swing and become an easy out. What we heard from Pedro Grifol all year long when it came to Luis Robert Jr. was, if he stays in the strike zone, he's incredible. And it's when he doesn't that things get a little, you know, less incredible for him as a player. And so I think it's probably not maybe as much, hey, I need to do this because it was bad last year, as much as, man, I need to do this all the time, or I'm going to fall out of the good habits that I created and start going back into the bad habits that we saw in 2022, and then even at the outset of last season. So even today, like you just mentioned, we had Eloy Jimenez talking about Luis Robert Jr. needing to be mindful of staying in the strike zone. It's probably less of a, this is what needs to improve over what we did, or over what he did rather last year, and more of a, this is something that needs to happen 100% of the time.
Yeah. You want to take us into our first break?
Yeah, I cannot wait. I mean, our sales guy, Jim, told us last week, I believe it was, that Leinenkugel is going to be our beer for this year. Man, I could damn near fell out of my chair because, as you know me, I'm a Leinenkugel fan. I mean, nothing says summer like hanging out with your people at the ball. What the hell is going on?
How did you do that?
Vinny is jamming out there.
Wait, I did that?
I don't know.
I didn't do anything.
Herb said the word Leinenkugel.
What?
And it just, man,
Leinenkugel brings the party to Arizona too. It's amazing. Nothing says summer like hanging out with your people, whether at the ball game at Guaranteed Rate Field like we're going to be at a cookout, or just chilling like a great Leinenkugel summer shandy. I know, like, when you hear me say summer shandy, you're like, Herb, that's a seasonal beer. What does Leinenkugel have for me on an everyday basis? I'm glad you asked that. Leinenkugel has the regular lager, light lager, Lakeside Cherry, which I'm drinking right now, Juicy Peach, Berry Weiss, Northwoods Amber, Dark Lager, and so much more. Like I said, I'm drinking a delicious Lakeside Cherry right here. It's delicious. Goes down easy. If you like the flavor of a summer shandy, oh, look at you.
Can I jump in here? Because it felt like you were just, I know you're really focused in on the read. Mm-hmm. I know it's really, you know, those reads are tough. This Sunside Wheat beer, I know you're giving an endorsement for the Lakeside Cherry.
Yes.
This Sunside Wheat one with natural blueberry and citrus flavors. I'm a blueberry
connoisseur.
Maybe I was going to use a more vile word. Maybe not vile, but explicit. Yeah. I'm a blueberry boy. How about that? This is the most fantastic beer that I've ever had. I truly was not going to expect this to deliver of a blueberry flavor. Usually when beers are, you know, brewed with blueberry, mm-hmm. they're not that good. This Sunset Wheat, Leinenkugel, I didn't know about your game. This was my first Leinenkugel beer.
Yeah.
And I am so damn happy that
you
this is
our beer.
You haven't
had a summer shandy before?
I just told you I didn't.
Wow. So, look at you. I'm jealous of you. You get to taste
this. I'm not a big beer drinker.
Take a
sip. I have some health things I got to avoid beer for. Drinking this just on side wheat, I just have more frustration with that, huh?
Yeah. Hey, man. Yeah. When you first get your lips on some summer shandy or this Lakeside Cherry, you're going to say, what the hell have I been waiting less than this 25 years of my life for? Could have been drinking earlier.
26.
You could have been waiting 4 years because you got to drink responsibly, friends out there. That's what Leinenkugel is all about. For over 150 years, Leinenkugel has combined German brewing traditions with Wisconsin innovation. You don't have to just pick one. Leinenkugel's popular variety packs that come in four flavors for you to try and enjoy. Flavor life's simple moments with Leinenkugel, the official craft beer of Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find out delivery options near you. That's liney.com/CHGO or pick up Leinenkugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Leinenkugel's flavor of the month. Leinenkugel, flavor of the moment. Celebrate responsibly. Jacob Leinenkugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
Thank you, Herb. Who's your daddy saying the juicy peach one doesn't even taste like beer? LOL. So, hey, go find that variety pack. Maybe have a sunset wheat, a lakeside cherry, a juicy peach, and a summer shandy. And, you know, you got all your beers for, honestly, whenever. I know citrus, I just learned that citrus is more in flavor in season in the winter.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So I'm guessing that's why the Sunside Wheat one just hits with its natural citrus flavor.
Yeah, you've already taken down that cherry over there, too. You're looking
at it. It's absolutely full.
Look at you.
God bless. What are you making me out for here? All right, anyways, let's tell you about our other friends over at Ray CDJR. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? If you are, then we have some great news for you. Our partner at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Fox Lake is celebrating the President's Day sales event all month long. Happy President's Day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just realized.
I'm not a president, but thank you.
President's Day, guys.
Appreciate it.
And do you know what that means? You'll be able to shop President's Savings on their wide selection of inventory. For a limited time, get 20% off MSRP on all remaining new 2023 Jeep Gladiator models with dealer discount. They're number one for new vehicle quality among midsize trucks, says J.D. Power. And that's not all. Shop their last call on select Dodge Challenger and Charger models. Dodge is the most powerful muscle car brand, so you don't want to miss out on their last call with over 20 Dodge muscle cars to choose from at Ray CDJR. You'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to Ray's price promise. So don't miss out. Shop great deals all month long and save big because Ray CDJR makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. And everybody loves the word free. You can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center of Ray CDJR or mention CHGO when you book online at RayCDJR/service, but you have to schedule that before February 29th. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, then you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram because they're the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit RateCDJR in Fox Lake or RateCDJR.com. Serving the community since 1963. All right, let's get into the other hitters because we heard that, you know, Luis and Aloy haven't arrived yet. Well, they arrived. They were scheduled to arrive today, and here they are. Wow, look at that. We are 5 days away from games. I know Aloy has draw an ire for not playing as many games as most players do, and people were scoffing at the number that he's set. I don't feel like this is maybe Michael Kopech saying he's going to throw 180 innings when Aloy says he's playing 150 this year, when you mentioned it's likely that he's going to be their DH in 2024.
Well, not only that, but like I saw one comment on Twitter from my guy, my good buddy,
Hi.
Ryan McGuffey. Right? This is a good friend of mine. I'm not trying to call him out and drag him. But he quote tweeted one of my colleagues tweeting that Aloy says his goal is to play 150 games. And Guff's quote tweet said, this should have been the goal all along. Do we think Aloy was not trying to play 150 games? Like, his goal was not to go out and get injured. Did he do some things? Did he do some things that made it more likely that he got injured? Yes, he did. Did he do some things that were irresponsible and led him to get injured and not play 150 games? Yes, he did. But I don't think we've ever talked to Aloy Jimenez at the beginning of a season like this where he was like, yeah, I hope I get into about 100, 110 games. Like, no, they all want to play all the games. If he was healthy, he would have played in all the games. The problem isn't the mindset as much as it is the fact that he hasn't been healthy. And he said today, as we're about to hear again, that he is feeling good and his offseason work was so good that he expects to be healthy and he expects to put up big numbers. That's great. He's just got to go out and not get hurt. And that has been far easier said than done for the entirety of his major league career to this point. He finally played in what were a lot of games for him last year. I'm of course he's wanting to top that.
Right. I mean, he was like 22 when he was pulling a Vince Carter on the outfield wall. Like, you know, he had a lot of ego or, you know, he had a lot of, I think, overestimate of how athletic he was. And hey, sometimes he was very athletic. Sometimes he was kind of fast out there and you're like, whoa, Aloy's kind of sneaky fast. And then he's getting caught up in the netting and giving Christian Yelich an inside the park home run. Like, it was more foolishness rather than, I don't know, dumb intent. Like you said, no one wants to go out there and get injured. I don't think Aloy was ever thinking, today's a good day to get injured. You know what? Hey, you know what? I saw the top of that that outfield fence. It'd be fun to hang from it.
Yeah.
Can my shoulder hang on if I just absolutely, you know, propend myself? I don't even know what word I'm saying.
Propel Take yourself. Over. But propel. It's like,
this is why I don't drink beer, Herb.
It's not even near good. But I think that Aloy, and I know people scoff at him saying things about being healthy and playing wanting to play 150 games, but I'm a big fan of manifestation. You put it out in the universe. I think you train your brain to think about, okay, if I put it out there, especially out when where people have mics in front of me, now I got to live up to that. And of course, he's not trying to be hurt, as Sean just said and Vinny just said. But once you put that out there, you get your mind trained just like, okay, look, we'll do everything we can to stay on this field and stay healthy. And if Aloy stays healthy, relatively healthy, and nothing's bothering him, we've seen years. We've seen the end of 2022. We've seen his rookie year when he had 31 home runs. Those things are still in him. And yes, we're getting sick of it as White Sox fans waiting for the potential for Aloy Jimenez to finally show up. But I hope that this year is the year because, like many White Sox, Michael Kopech, Yoel Moncada, this is a make-or-break year for Aloy Jimenez, I believe, also. So I think that you will see some better things from Aloy Jimenez, but also I'm not putting my eggs in the Aloy will stay healthy basket. He can do that all he wants, but, you know, we've been burnt once, twice, or three times. So I will not be saying, yeah, Aloy's going to play 150-plus games. But it's good that he's saying that.
And, hey, I mean, we look at the three seasons of 2019, 2020, and last year, 122 games, played 55 of 60 games, and then the last year, 120 games. So it's not like he's had 2 years where he's missed, you know, a significant amount. It could be that if he plays in a designated hitter role, he's able to thrive. I don't know.
And maybe he's getting his mind right. Remember last year at the beginning, you know, he's always not one to be the designated hitter. Now it's kind of ingrained. Like, you're the designated hitter, guy. that's what you're doing. So get used to it and hit from there. Absolutely. So there's no like ambiguity of him playing the outfield from time to time. Like last year, he played it and then he kind of got hurt or the legs got tired and that was pretty much it.
Yep.
They're like, you're designated here now, right?
Let's hear from the man. Let's hear from Eloy Jimenez on what he learned from last year.
You know, it was tough, but every year is a new year. We got a lot of talents. We just got to come together. And so far, it looked good, way better than last year. And I hope we can do that.
You mentioned expectations. What are your expectations for yourself this year?
You know, always is health first. I know it's going to be a good year because I did put the work that I need to put. And, it's, you know, numbers going to be there if I'm playing. So that's my goal, playing.
What do you know the numbers that you, Eloy, you, Johan, and Luis have not played a ton of games?
I'm Eloy. Nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure. Welcome.
It's Mark.
That you have, I think, played less than a third together because of injuries. How important is it to have you guys together going strong for a full season?
You know, we're in the middle of the lineup. And every time we eat together, we can help more than we be on the bench watching the game. So for me, that's the biggest challenge, being together like day by day and play 150 plus. So that's our goal.
Pedro said he wants his team to play faster this year. What does that mean to you when you hear him say that?
Respect 90s. We've been like put the effort sometimes on games, but this year is going to be different.
Last year you're talking about?
Yeah, I talked about last year, but this year is going to be different. Yeah.
Robert was asked what he expects out of you this year, and he said everything. You can everything. So, what do you think when you hear him say that?
Well, we talk all the time, so him saying that, like, I feel good, comfortable because he trusts in my, he trusts in me, in myself. So, for me, it's good, you know, and coming out of him, like, he's pretty much one of the best players in MLB. It's good.
What do you expect from him this year?
Like always. Like, he's going to be healthy and put the number he put last year better.
Yeah, he said that, you know, he feels that there's still things he can improve on. Do you see him being even better than he's been recently?
Yeah. Like, average, the strike zone. I know he's been working really hard. And he's going to get better. Yeah.
I know you just got here, but what gives you a good feeling about this team and it being able to exceed expectations?
You know, expectations are going to be there all the time. So we just have to work day by day. The results are going to be there.
Heard you were loudly impressed with some of the home runs that Johan was able to hit during batting practice there. how's he looking early on?
Yeah, he's looking good. Like I say, if we healthy, I know we can help the team.
Have you been working on hitting the ball in the air more or avoiding ground balls? What goes into working into that?
You know, that's a secret. Yeah, that's a secret. I can say it because teacher gonna watch this video. Yeah. So.
Do you see progress?
Yeah. Yeah. You're gonna find out soon.
No,
maybe. Okay. After the season.
But you're seeing the results so far in what you've been working on, what you want to do.
Yeah, it's been good. I feel really happy about it, and it's good. Yeah,
I said it was batting practice, but you did hit a lot of home runs today. A lot. Does that say anything about where you're at right now, or is it still too early to say?
It's too early, but you can see right now. Is getting better.
What are you hearing from Pedro? What are you guys hearing from Pedro right now that is maybe a little different than what you heard last year?
You know, like we were talking early, the respect 90s, that is something that he told us this morning, and that is good. You know, that is something different coming from him and in the second year. That's good.
Hi, I'm Aloy. That was great with him and Merck, where he introduces himself. I don't know. You watch that, and at least the interview and his personality, the definition of a guy that's, you know, hard not to root for. If Aloy goes out and hits 40 home runs, I think all of you are going to be dusting off those 74 jerseys and being thrilled that he's a White Sox. So, hey, if he's healthy and he's, you know, listening to Marcus Thames, who I think I ended up cutting out that answer because it was just so boring. They're keeping it simple, not to learn from, because all the pitchers are watching this. All the MLB pitchers are taking their time to watch this. Herb, who is the most likely major league pitcher to be watching the CHGO White Sox show right now?
Lucas Giolito, probably. He's a big-time fan of ours. His dad was, at least a little bit. But
was he?
Yeah, I remember he was on the chat until Lucas told his dad to chill out and stop being on things. Melissa says exactly what I'm thinking, as you were alluding to. I really love Aloy. I sure hope he has a great season. He's extremely likable, and there's a lot of talent in that bat. You want to root for the guy because you hear the joy he always exudes when he does speak in front of the media. That kid, who's like 27 now, has all the potential in the world. And you want that smile to be permanent, the hi mom to be permanent 45 times. Because he can do that. Like, it's not even a thing if I say Aloy Jimenez at the end of the year hit 45 home runs. That would be Aloy Jimenez stayed healthy for a bunch of games. Because we know the power's in there. We know he's an average hitter. He's a good hitter. But staying on the field is the main problem. I know he batted, 120 games and didn't hit as many home runs as we expect if he would have played that many games. But I'm not losing faith in the actual player. I'm just losing faith in the actual health. If he stays healthy, man, and that beard, man, it's looking nice, too. Nice and connected. Looking sharp. Yay, you look good. You play good, Sean.
No, go contact his barber. I think he's probably in the Dominican. I don't think that you're going to be able to set up an appointment that easy.
People in Arizona, too.
He just arrived. he's arrived. Spoke to him at 1 p.m. Yeah. You think he's going to a 7 a.m. barbershop?
Needs to get lined up a little bit.
Okay. Anyways. Your home run point is fair, just because in 2022, 84 games, 16 home runs. In 2023, 120 games, 18 home runs. Not that jump or you'd expect if there's a 40 game difference or so. All right. Someone who I like. I know that he's kind of in bad will because he's not Paul Konerko or Frank Thomas or Jose Abreu. Damn, Andrew Vaughn. But we do have Andrew Vaughn tape as well. Let's hear from Andrew Vaughn on what he worked on this break.
That starts in the offseason, getting more agile, working on the swing, getting in shape and being ready once today starts.
What has Pedro's message kind of been for you guys?
Come in, we talked about the whole 0% playoff projection, I think we can just prove a lot of people wrong this year.
Fire you guys up.
That's kind of a big thing for you guys, the 0.0.
I mean, it's something, but we just got to go out and, do what we can do. Be a good group in here, just come together and play good baseball.
I talked to you earlier in the offseason about agility and everything else. What were some of the things you specifically worked on?
A lot of stuff in the training room, bands, resisted shuffles, runs, footwork, you name it.
Do you see it? I mean, is it palpable difference? Can you feel it already?
Or
do you see
it? I definitely feel it.
You do? How so?
I just feel way better. Better shape, all the tests are a little bit better. So it's a good start to, the season.
Chris said you're kind of expecting a breakout year. Not had success in previous years, but what are you feeling about this season that you can take the next step?
Yeah, just hold myself to higher standards, Look back at, the numbers and stuff, whatnot. Work my butt off in the offseason, to come into this season and, play the best baseball I can.
You worked on, reducing chase or reducing rollovers. You see there's still room to grow in
any game. Yeah, I feel like there's always room to grow. I mean, nobody in this game's hitting 500, The best of the best hit 300, I want to try to be one of the best hitters, That's everybody in here, I think, personally thinks that as a hitter.
You miss the outfield?
It's baseball. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
With the numbers you've already put up, which were very good, what is a kind of a breakout, quote unquote, mean to you for 24?
Oof, that's hard to put into words. Let's talk at the end of the season.
Vinny, I don't know about you, but something he said there was very reminiscent of old friend Frank Minichino of fuck the home run, let's hit 300. Damn it, I butchered it. You know, he said good hitters hit 300, and I want to be a good hitter. I don't know if I should take it all the way to, you know, Andrew Vaughn's goal is to hit 300. But Andrew's one of those guys with personal motivation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, what was it that that we heard at the outset last week of this camp, which was there's a lot of guys with something to prove, not necessarily to, you know, everybody that's listening or watching at home, but to themselves. And Andrew Vaughn is a guy who obviously was the number three pick in the draft. Any progress that he has made in this game, it has not necessarily been to the level that folks expected it to be at this point. And he has to go out and maybe prove to himself what kind of hitter that he truly is. Because remember, all you needed to do is go back and look at the numbers that he put up in college to see how easy it was for him to be so elite at hitting, you know, when he was at Cal. Hasn't exactly been that same way since he's joined the White Sox organization. And boy, I'm sure he'd like it to be. You know, he says he can be a 300 hitter. He says he wants to be one of the best in baseball. I mean, you see the motivation there. And really now it's about him going out and improving and proving it, because there were at times last year where it looked like there was a pretty big hole in his swing. And he's got to go show that he deserves to be in the middle of that lineup. Remember, when we talk about Yoan Moncada, when we talk about Eloy Jimenez, when we talk about Luis Robert Jr., these guys have been rewarded financially. Andrew Vaughn is not part of that group. And, you know, I'm not saying that the only motivation in baseball is to go get paid, but don't you think that you'd like to see a number next to your name that you think is informative of the kind of player that you think that you are? So Andrew Vaughn probably wants to show himself and show the decision makers in baseball that he is that guy that the White Sox talked about him being way back on draft night in what was that, 2019 or whatever.
Yeah, it's fourth year. It's time to put up or shut up for Andrew Vaughn. Now, I know he wants to be a 300, and that's good for him, and that's good for the White Sox if he becomes that. But your first baseman, I need more power from him, like 20-plus home runs.
He had 21 last year.
Fine. I need 30. I need him to raise his level of play. I need something better from him. He's the number three pick overall in the draft. It's his fourth year. No more, oh, if he plays a full year at first base, he's already done that. Well, if he settles down, he needs a full season, he's already done that. This year is the year that all the stuff comes to fruition for Andrew Vaughn, and he needs to put bat to ball a little bit more over the fence. He was a 101 OPS plus guy last year. For a first baseman, that's pretty poor. So I need him to raise the level of play. And it's good that he wants to be a better hitter and an overall 300 hitter, but if he hits 30 bombs, I don't think anybody cares about the average.
Yeah, I think the most surprising thing is the walk rate returned to his rookie year, 21% to 21.5% in his rookie year. But the walk rate is, you know, about 3 points different, 8.7 to 5.9. You thought that when he would be finally comfortable defensively, he would maybe slip into more of that projected player that he showed at Cal. And maybe that player that got on base and was able to control the strike zone and really, as you mentioned, had that hole in his swing. So hopefully he's fixed that. And if he goes out and hits 20 homers and he has an average of 30 or 300 and he's getting on base, you know, 400% of the time,
oh,
I ain't mad. I mean, hey, let's do something.
If all this stuff comes to fruition, the White Sox are going to be winning much more games than 78.
That horrible. Yeah. And they could also win, you know, 60 again. So I don't want to be too bullish. You know, the Cubs came out with a hashtag, you have to see it today, right?
Yeah, okay.
Like, you know, Andrew Vaughn, you have to see it. Oh, don't. Well, I had to take it down within 35
Vinny,
minutes.
You missed out.
Yeah. Cody Delmendo is, I think, asininely convinced that he made the Cubs change it.
Ugh.
So let's take a break.
Just steal Missouri's thing and tell him to show me. Golly, you got to see it. Ugh.
Yeah, it's crazy that you try to dunk on the Cubs and or you try to dunk on the Cardinals and like you have an upset Cardinals fan and then you're changing the hashtag with under an hour. Yikes. Anyways, and hi, Charlie. Charlie the Bacon Guy is going to be in studio. So here's a little ad read for Charlie the Bacon Guy. We're going to be testing out, I think, some Malort bacon. So sorry, Vinny, that you're not going to be in studio.
I ordered some, too.
Oh, you did? Look at you.
chili lime? Delicious.
Check out our guy, Charlie, who's going to be in studio. You could check him out at charliebaconguy.com. All right, let's also let you know about our friends over at Circus Sportsbook. They have tight money line splits. Games will strive to be a -110 split on the Circus Sports menu, unlike other sports books, which may use -115 or -120 split. They will likely offer the best line for you to bet on the money line as well. So if you're feeling froggy, if you're feeling frisky, the Chicago Blackhawks to win tonight. The Circa does have the best line at +320. So go check out our friends at Circus Sportsbook. If you are looking to place a bet, there are real people behind the Circus Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other books who use chat bots, and it might take 2 weeks for them to get back to you. Circa is going to take care of you, and Circa does not limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who do limit winning players. Circa is the, you know, the cathedral of sports betting. It's where sports bettors want to be. It's the world's largest sports book. So download Circus Sports Illinois app at circusports.com/Illinois-app. That's circusports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Text GMB to 833-234. Visit areyoureallywinning.com. And we want to let you know about our friends over at Empire today. Vinny, I think there's going to be a delay, but 3, 2, 1.
5-8-8-2-300 Empire. It's kind of that roundabout thing, you know.
It's an echo.
Yeah,
we were doing it in a church.
Perfect.
With Empire today, you get shop at home convenient, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a low price guarantee. Empire today is the best place to get new flooring. So of course they have copycats, but Empire won't be beaten out on quality, service, and speed. So competitors advertise low quality products that Empire simply won't carry. Empire won't promise the lowest prices because anyone who does is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in theirs. They keep shopping at Floors Simple with a curated product selection. Empire's philosophy is to help you find what you need and not overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. What they leave out of their selection is just as important as what they put in. Their product team exhaustively combs through thousands of product samples each year to find the perfect styles for your home. And you could check out their virtual floor designer. It's a great way to see how new... It's a great way to see how new floors will look in any space. It's just easy. Snap a picture and instantly see how new floors will look in your room. Someone is updating the Google ad doc and moving everything down by a line. So that's what happened there. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use the promo code CHGO. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/CHGO for details. Again, all listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use promo code CHGO. empiretoday.com/CHGO. All right, let's get into the final people. We got Martin Maldonado and Mike Moustakas to hear from. Let's start off with Maldi first. And Maldi is going to talk about not only how he's going to help pitchers come into their own and kind of help find their form, which I know Brian Bannister is helping as well, and we're going to talk about him in a second, but also how he thinks Michael Kopech could have a really big year. Here's Maldi.
Let me just start with... They understanding what they can do, when they can do it. You know, you go from there. I think it is, you know, made them believe on what they can do really good. And I think that's probably the best. You know, if you have any pitcher that has success in the building, they know what they got. They enforce that as many times as possible.
Whether it's facing him in years past or seeing him in very limited, bullpens this spring, what do you see when you see Michael Kopech pitch?
I think that guy can be an all-star, man. He got the pitchers. He seemed like he cares. He's a high energy guy. It's a matter of, understanding that you don't have to be super nasty, you'll be nasty. You know, I think he had the ability to do that. You know, he showed some games they are really, really good, another game that is really bad, but it's understanding that you can be, you don't have to be super nasty. You gotta do it just what you got. You're gonna have success.
You don't have to be nasty. And there was a good piece from our friend, James Fegan over at SoxMachines.com, where he chatted with Brian Bannister and talked about these guys having an imaginary hula hoop around their waist. Hearing Banny's thoughts on maybe trying to find guys with different arm angles and maybe less being nasty like Martin Maldonado and giving just players something different to look at. I thought that Maldi being this veteran is going to be able to handle whatever's thrown at him. So again, maybe that is the reason why Maldi was focused in on to be brought in as this catcher, because if they're going to be throwing him a Tim Hill from the left side, who's, you know, a submarine sweeper, and then you know, Jimmy Lambert, who's throwing more over the top, it might be good to a guy who's seen it all in Martin Maldonado.
Yeah, absolutely. And boy, that seems like it's going to land on a t-shirt, doesn't it? You don't have to be super nasty to be nasty. That seems like Martin Maldonado has taken marketing 101. But you know, listen, I think that you're absolutely right. This is a guy who can do, or could, I should say, can handle anything from behind the plate. And not only that, we saw him today in a bullpen. I'm forgetting which pitcher it was. I think maybe it was Dylan Cease throwing a bullpen today. And Maldonado is up there not catching the bullpen, but he's up there talking to Cease like one of the pitching coaches. You know, Ethan Katz was there giving Dylan the coaching throughout the whole bullpen. And at some point, Maldonado comes up and he's like, oh, maybe, you know, you try to do this, try to do that. And you're like, oh, Martin Maldonado, catcher and assistant to the assistant pitching coach, I guess. But, you know, I think that he's going to be a very valuable asset for this pitching staff. And it's already kind of showing, whether you're hearing it in an interview like that or one of the ones that he's had with some of my colleagues, or seeing it like we are in person with the way that he's interacting with the pitchers, you obviously realize right away why he was brought in. I mean, this is a guy who hit under 200. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he is not somebody who the traditional person looking at a baseball reference page is going to say, that guy needs to be on my team. But you see the attribute that he does bring is so good and has had so much success that he's managed to stick in this game while being very much below average in other areas, because his entire body of work is dragged up so highly by that one thing that he does really well. And so if they're trying to hone in on making their pitchers better through any number of ways, obviously, like you referenced Brian Bannister, Martin Maldonado and his presence has to be included as one of those ways that they're trying to improve this major league pitching staff.
With all the new pitchers, you need multiple voices telling you the same things, especially a veteran like Martin Maldonado saying all the things that he's bringing to the pitching staff, and then Brian Bannister with his wealth of knowledge and experience of being in the major leagues, and then also, you know, being with the Boston Red Sox and the San Francisco Giants. It's really paying off for these guys. I just want Martin Maldonado to pass some of that information on to his teammates, maybe, because he might be only here for a couple of years, and so we need the next generation, the Carols of the world, to absorb some of the things that Martin Maldonado was doing, the Matt Stassis of the world, to, hey, I see what he's doing. Let me repeat that, because it sounds like it's working out well.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Early in camp.
The Adam Hackenbergs. Come on, Herb. Let's give everyone some love. You brought up catchers. But even Jesse Chavez, too, 40-year-old, who said that this is likely going to be his last year, and he's looking to go into pitching. I think that he was a kind of a last-minute addition to this roster, but when looking at the guys that could possibly make it onto the team. I do think that Chavez, with his wealth of knowledge and being a guy that is right-handed but also throws like 80, it could be another way to really just change up hitters. So it's going to be a really interesting pitching staff, and we'll see how they manage it. Again, I don't know if it's going to be the most talented, but as Martin Maldonado said, you don't have to be nasty to be nasty. You just have to be different.
You don't have to be super nasty to be nasty. Let's get it right, because it might be, hey, if the White Sox are looking for a hashtag, talk to Martin.
Right. Hey, he's on the team. I mean, if they're going to be using him as a coach, why not also use him in the marketing department? It's just financially, sound. All right. Let's hear from our final guy, Mike Moustakas. You heard from, I got rid of my in for Mike. Mike, I know people were kind of like, oh, Pedro and Chris Getz, and that's why he's on the team, former Royal. But he's very intent on, knowing his position and knowing what he needs, or the dude wants to make it to camp. Here's Mike Moustakas.
I got to make a team. I got to go out there. I got to perform, do everything I can to make a ball club. And, I'm fully prepared to do that. I'm excited. It's another opportunity, another challenge, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
As someone who's accomplished a lot, what is it like kind of being in that standpoint of fighting to make the team?
I was there last year. So, it's the same mindset. It's, at the end of the day, you want to keep playing Major League Baseball, you got to go out and do this. So I'm excited. Another opportunity. And, another chance to, play Major League Baseball, play baseball at the highest level. And I'm excited to have that chance.
Did you see him as a future GM when you were on the same infield as him?
Absolutely. He's always been, an intelligent, intellectual guy and, saw the game a little bit differently. And then when he was, with the Royals, in the front office, you could see the climb that he was starting to have. And, for him to be in this position and have this opportunity, it's awesome. I'm really excited for him and what he's going to do. Not only in this organization, but in baseball. It's always nice to have former players, up at the top and, make decisions. So it's a pretty cool opportunity, not just for him, but for any future player that wants to do something like that.
It's not taking away from anyone else who does it, but does it make a difference when you have former players who come back and kind of...
I think so. I think, giving back to the game in any way possible, it's, something that is really important to baseball. Showing younger guys how to do things and, having guys that are, in positions, in baseball, in management, in front office. It's important to, have that other side of it, being in the clubhouse and going through the grind every single day. And it's pretty awesome for him, and I'm really excited for his opportunity. But again, I'm here to make a ball club, so I'm fired up to go out there and, get to work and have that opportunity.
Herb, you were groaning the entire time.
The man needs a job. He wants a job. That's all good. But the White Sox don't necessarily need to give him a job. He's a 35-year-old player that's on a minor league deal. So I get it. It doesn't hurt them to do this. But I would hope that if we're doing this, you're giving those at-bats to younger players. Because the last 2 years of Mike Moustakas' career haven't been great. They've been a showing of a player who is falling off. And that's a natural regression. That's cool. But you don't need, as a rebuilding team, which the White Sox are, to be giving at-bats to people who will not be helping you in the future. Like, give these at-bats to people who, used to be high talent and maybe they're 27 and they've fallen off with their original team. Give at-bats to those people. But Mike Moustakas is not going to really do anything for the White Sox, even if he makes this team. And if he does, they're going to trade him before July ends. So it's good to have reinforcements, but I would like more young youth, like they're doing with some of the young pitchers that they have, and just letting them battle in the either starting rotation or the relief corps. So I'm glad he's on the team, but I would wish they would have younger people getting these at-bats.
I entirely get what you're saying, Herb, and I don't think it's a wrong thing to desire, but to provide a little bit of insight that might be applicable, maybe not entirely in this specific case with Mike Moustakas. But one of the things Pedro Grifol said today when talking about kind of the thing they're trying to do here, the identity they're trying to create and the makeover that they're trying to give to this organization, he said something along the lines of, hopefully we're watching in 20 years on TV and you turn on a White Sox game and we're able to say, we helped start that. We helped create what is, the White Sox way, the thing that is that you think of when you think of the White Sox, the way that they play the game. And I'm not saying that what you're the type of player that you're talking about can't provide that. I'm sure there's guys out there who certainly could, and there's probably guys in camp that fit that description. But Chris Getz and Pedro Grifol are the ones who are moving forward on this plan to try to turn the to create a new identity for the White Sox. They know the type of guy that they want to bring in to set that foundation. And boy, do they know a lot about Mike Moustakas. And so I'm not saying that he's going to help them win any games. I'm not saying that he's going to be, you know, very good at all. He might not make the team because he's just not playing well enough, right? But he might very much check the box of that's the kind of player that we want in the clubhouse because he's the kind of guy who plays the way that we want this team to play decades into the future when there's nothing but World Series every year. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there is a value here that they see. I'm not saying that it's the right move or that it's going to work out, but if I'm looking to answer the question, boy, why is Mike Moustakas being given a shot at making this team? That's the answer I can give to you.
I hear you out, but also, what if, because Mike Moustakas brought up, you know, the idea that Chris Getz has always been a guy that he thought could be a general manager, what if Chris Getz hasn't updated his player sheet cards since 2013 and just needs to scribble out Mike Moustakas, Salvador Perez? I guess Nicky Lopez wasn't around.
He wasn't.
All right. That bit only works for two guys, but, you know, hey, Pedro Grifol was written in as manager, right? You know, maybe it was written in pen and not pencil. I get your point, Herb, because there was rumors about Dom Smith. He's 28, not 27, like you mentioned, but hey, fits the point. Why sign Mike Moustakas rather than a Dom Smith? Vinny, I get your point of, you know, Mike Moustakas is 35 and has more of that veteran presence that maybe would build that White Sox way. I think it's delusional to kind of try to build a White Sox way when you're just starting, but also you got to set goals. So I don't know. I'm being pulled in every direction. It's Mike Moustakas is on the team. Maybe he's number 70 when I put the players in order of most excited to see. Any final thoughts from this day of spring training, Ben?
Just a busy day, and I mean, you can tell that everybody's here now. I mean, you know, I mean, they really hit the ground running in what they were doing out in the field. Not that it was anything unusual, but, you know, it didn't really take them a lot of time to kind of just get right into the swing of things. It was a long day, a busy day, and you can tell that everybody's here, and now things kind of really start, and then we'll talk about it changing all again on Friday when the games start playing, but or when the games start being played, rather. But this is spring training, and now everybody is fully arrived.
And any news on that game on Friday versus the Cubs? Because I see that you tweeted something out about the people who might be pitching that day.
Yes, the device on which I have that information written is being used to film my face right now. So I don't have the full list in front of me. But I can say this. Do not expect to, whether it's turning on your TV or looking at a box score, to see starting pitchers early on in Cactus League play for the White Sox. It's going to be a lot of bullpen days, and it's going to start with the list of guys that Sean is about to read out.
Yeah, no, we'll move your mouth, and I'll try to like mimic your voice, and we'll marionette this. Jesse Chavez, Nicholas Padilla, my guy, Joe Barlow, Frazier Ellard, and Alex Spies are expected to pitch in Friday's Cactus League opener against the Cubs. Guys that I'm really excited to watch, weirdly enough. Jesse Chavez, obviously giving that, you know, mix of being a mid-80s pitcher, giving a reminiscent of the Greg Maddux when he's 40 years old in the Padres uniform, reminiscent of 47-year-old Jamie Moyer pitching, right?
He's Sergio Romo, I'm thinking, too.
Crafty. Wait. Sean, are you calling him a mid-80s pitcher because that's when he was born?
No. Velocity.
Velocity.
Oh. He was also born in the mid-80s.
I didn't know that. 83. I mean, he is really kind of 83. That's early 80s. Anyways, Nicholas Padilla, I didn't know he was kind of as nasty as he was. There's a video that I posted on like Saturday because I have no better time than watching a tape of Nicholas Padilla.
I was wondering that. I was like, what the hell? Did Nicholas Padilla just pitch? And you're just like, oh my God, I wasn't familiar with the game, Padilla.
Hey, but there's a sweeper that he has against Elvis Andrus in a game from like June, and it is nasty. It's filthy. So go check that out if you want it. Sean_W. Anderson. Joe Barlow's a new face. Frazier Ellard's been in the minors, but he's also kind of nasty as well. So it's going to be interesting. And Alex Spies can't throw a strike. He was just picked up from Texas when they, I think it was to keep
at the end of the year, October.
It's an old veteran reliever. They decided to keep him over Alex Spies. We'll see what happens with Alex Spies. He's got just nasty stuff. There's a video from Tread Athletics where he's throwing a bullpen for about 8 minutes. So if you want to see a guy throwing like 99, go watch Alex Spies pump heat on YouTube. But we have a live watch along with the Blackhawks, so maybe don't do that. Subscribe to our CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Hit that like button. Vinny's been pumping out a ton of content, whether at allchgo.com or on our shorts page on this YouTube channel. So make sure you're following him at Vinny Duber. He's going to be putting out more and more content for the week that he is left in Arizona. So we're excited to hear more from Vinny tomorrow at 2:30. Not 5 p.m. We're moved the show up on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll be at 5, but tomorrow, 2:30. So join us then. Vinny will be there at Vinny Duber. That's Herb Lawrence at EchnerWall23. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show. And thank you to everyone for hanging out with us. We will talk to you tomorrow at 2:30. Goodbye.
Y'all silly like the mayor.